It is a joy to be here today, and I've enjoyed my friendship with Pastor Ketchum. He's been a real friend to me over the years, and he was probably, I got started in shortly after I left Bible College, May 3rd, 96, and so started in the ministry, and I was calling and looking for pastors to take an interest in me. I grew up in a home not centered upon God nor His Word. I lived my life not seeking God and no desire to know Him. And so I didn't receive the Lord as my Savior until I was 30. And it was shortly, He did something no other friend could do. He changed my life completely. And I'll just get to share with you some things that He's doing. He's still, He's not finished yet. He's still working on me. And I try to convey, get you to try to understand me better. I've not arrived. I'm nowhere close to where I ought to be. Further along in my walk with the Lord than I was 25 years ago. I understand Him better now. I read His Word. It makes more sense to me now. But I've got a long way to go. And the way I convey that is my favorite color is green. I love the color green. My wife, her favorite color is, do you know my wife's favorite color? Some of you maybe you could guess, but now you will know her favorite color is green too. And the reason you know that is because you have spent time with us this morning. And so I was trying to convey, how do you get to know God better? How can you get to know God like no other Christian on the planet? And when you start talking like that, flags start flying up and people kind of think different things because they're older and they begin to draw from their experiences. And I've noticed the younger that you are, you've got less to draw from, you see. So a 9-year-old hears different than a 57-year-old. Does that kind of make sense, you know? And so I was in this one church, and I said, my favorite color is green. I said, what'd you hear? Well, you're an evangelist. All evangelists love money. You just love money. You're an evangelist. No wonder you love green. But that was real. I'm not something I read in a book, but I said, wow, I didn't get that. And so I asked this other fella, I said, what did you hear? You a John Deere tractor man. You love John Deere tractors. Now, evidently, he may have been a farmer. I'm thinking, well, we tend to do those things that are important to us. You see what I'm saying? And so I asked another fella, I said, what did you hear? And he said, you a Green Bay Packer fan. You a cheesehead. You love the Green Bay Packers. And then I didn't know. It was just, looks like I'm doing, I was just off the cuff. And I saw this boy, and I says, how old are you? He said, I'm 9. And I asked him, I said, well, son, what did you hear? He said, your favorite color is green. I thought, wow. Because I've been misinterpreted, you know. And the Lord gave me that as if, why didn't you hear what, you know, the 9-year-old heard, you know. So I hope you'll hear me as a 9-year-old. You know, that's what I'm saying. Don't look for any hidden things or nowhere close to all to be further along than I'd, you know, and I enjoy that. But now I'm just sharing with you some things I've learned. And you don't have to learn them the hard way. We're all growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come to Sunday school that we might worship and adore the King, praise God, that we might fellowship with and encourage other believers. But folks, we come that we might learn spiritual truth. I mean, I want to go out with something, you know, that I can apply to my life through obedience and be more and more Christ-like. You know, this. But I've been thinking that way 25 years. I had a pastor, Michael Bates, who took an interest in me and took me under his wing. And I mean, I'd never read a book before until after I got saved. I couldn't even pronounce the word therefore at age 30. At age 35, they stuck me in third grade English, you know, so you can imagine I was so far back. But I've had folks along the way take an interest in me and to teach me and to train me and to get to know God better. But that's all I want to do. I want to share with you about why it is so important that we maintain fellowship with the Lord. You know, and I mentioned how you get to know God better. Well, you got to spend time with Him in His presence. Get to know Him like no other Christian. I'll never be good at golf. I'll never be a good I'll never be a race car driver, certain things. I'm not willing to spend the time in order to be, like that. But I do want to know Him better. And I know Him better because I spend time with Him in His presence. And then I listen to Him. And the reason you know my color is green, I go back to that. And you know my wife's color is green because you spent time with us this morning. You see how I'm saying how you get to know Him better? And you folks discipline yourself to be here. And so my favorite color is green, hers too. But you got to be obedient to God. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And so that's helped me too. I've tried to, what has made the difference in my life? Learning spiritual truth. And let me try to convey it another way. I got a rental car. It was for a month, it was $816. And that's a fairly good deal, but I know there's better deals out there. And so I was able to get online and find Budget, gave me a car for $610 for the month. I don't know about you, but $610 is even better than $816 for a month and using the car. Well, then I thought, well, if they gave it to me for $610, I wonder what Enterprise going to get. What can I get from Enterprise? So I leave Budget, go to Enterprise. I get the Enterprise, and they like $710. And so I want to check another one. And so, you go to Avis or one of the other ones, and it's like $910, and $115. And I thought, I better go back and get Budget. So I'll go back to Budget, and now they are like $805. Now, wait a minute. I was just there 10 minutes earlier, and it was $610, now it's $805. So I'll go back to Enterprise because, well, I can get the $710 because it's better, the price was cheaper or whatever. And so I go to Enterprise, and they done raised it up. And I thought, I just better go back and get so I went to the next site, and they had raised their price too. So, this is going, stay with me. It's going to help you. You see, for 8 years, I've been traveling by air and by a rental car. And I've wasted thousands of dollars. I'm going to share with you how you can save thousands of dollars. Now, you may not be interested. You may not be willing to learn spiritual truth. That's your decision. But see, I choose to live a different sort of life. I want to govern my life in light of a smile. Seeing the Lord one day, like an athlete would govern your life in light of a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Or what's the alternative? Bury your face in your hands, weep, buckets of tears, because you've abused and misused the life, the time, the talents, the treasures, and the brains He gave you. He said He gave you. It's all from God, you see. You see, now we're going to stand before Him. Are we going to stand before God one day? Well, chapter and verse. You see what I'm saying? He's appointed unto men once to die, but after the judgment. Romans 14:10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:12, so then every one of us, you're going to give an account unto God. Now, I want to do it with a smile in mind. A praise? Is that rather than? So, anyway, where are you talking about all this car rental? Well, I got on this little chat line. They had a little box came up and it said chat. And I got on there and I said, well, ma'am, I was about to secure the car for $610, and I went to Enterprise, I went to Budget, went to Avis, and I came back, and now it's, $800 and some dollars. And she wrote back, she said, delete your cookies. Hey, delete your browser, your cookies, I went in there, I deleted that, come back, got it for $610. Glory. Hey, all the years before, I was content. I might not have got it at $610, but I got it for $710. And I've been content for eight and a half years. Praise God, I learned something. You see how we learn? That's what I'm saying. We learn one from another, right? I just love being around Brother Ketchum. I can't understand half what he says, but he used them big words. But every once in a while, he began to explain something where I get it. See, I'm not that smart. And so now I want to talk about fellowship. It is so important that it is so important that we remain united in Christ. What does that mean? I'll talk to you in a minute. And why it's so important that we maintain fellowship with God. Why is it so important that I let God's word abide in me? Why is all that? So John chapter 15, and we'll go quickly. 10:30, Pastor? Or is that okay? Okay. Well, great. Notice what Jesus said. This is my master. This is my savior. Notice what he said to me. And you put your name in there too. He said it to us. I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Then notice verse 6. He said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Then the Lord says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And then, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We'll notice three things quickly. Number one, the importance of abiding in Christ, the importance of maintaining. So abiding is maintaining fellowship, and we'll even go a little bit further than that. But you know, a fellowship and being united. Why is it so important that we be united in Christ and fellowship? And then the meaning, why is it so important? Then the meaning of all that, and then the conditions. There's only two conditions. And if you're not abiding in Christ today, you have violated one or both of these conditions. And so, Lord, please help me as I convey something here today. And help me only say those things that need to be said. And not be misunderstood, but I hope you'll open the hearts and the minds of your people and help us to grow. And we'll be careful to give you the thanks and praise for what you accomplish in the lives of your people today. We ask in Jesus' name. The importance of abiding in Christ. So why is it so important that I maintain fellowship with Jesus every day? That I might walk with God, talk with God, fellowship with Jesus, and have the Son of God talk back to me through his word and through the Spirit of God. Why is it so important? Well, look at verse 5. Jesus said, you'll bear much fruit. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to influence this community. I want to influence you. I want to bring forth much fruit. I want to do something for God because he's done so much for me. Took upon himself my sins, died in my place. And so I don't know. I want to bear not just fruit, I want to bear much fruit. And so Jesus had been talking about the fruit of the vine, but what did the Lord Jesus Christ mean by that? What is the fruit of the vine? Well, we are to reproduce ourselves in the lives of others. Just as grapes bear grapes and oranges bear oranges, we are to reproduce ourselves in the lives of others. Folks, we're to go out and win men to Christ. We are to disciple those converts that they may go out and win men to Christ and disciple those men. It's the job of every Christian on the planet to reproduce himself in the lives of others. We're not doing a very good job, but that we should be doing that. We're all in full-time Christian service for the Master, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be reproducing ourselves in the lives of others. It's not just the pastor's responsibility. It's not just the missionary's responsibility. If you have been cleansed by the shed blood of Christ, you have an awesome responsibility to reproduce yourself in the lives of others. We have the highest calling of God on our lives. Folks, we are His ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are the very representatives of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And we must, with every opportunity, warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 29. Well, in Matthew 28:18-20, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake, and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the world. In Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the othermost part of the earth. And then he said, Mark 16:15, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just good advice. That's not a strong suggestion. That's a command. And many of God's people go day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year, and don't obey. And they can make up all the excuses they want about being scared and timid, but it boils down to simple disobedience. Oh, He never told you something you could not do. Now, if He lied about that, He lied about, you know, our salvation too. I hope you'll come back tonight. I'm going to share with you a message entitled The Victorious Life in Christ is a Simple Life. It is a matter of you choosing to yield your life to someone else. And it's if you're not willing to do that, how are you going to accomplish the other things in the Word of God? It's just a foundation. You've got to yield your life to the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you. And so, anyway, so what was Jesus saying in John 15, verse 5? If you abide in me, son, you'll bear much fruit. So, are you bearing much fruit? So my question, are you bearing much fruit? Are you reproducing yourselves in the lives of others? If not, folks, it may very well be you're not abiding in Christ. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, we know that. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, except on Friday. I say that to make them think. Because they say, well, Friday too. I say, why don't you live like it? You see, you know the difference. I'm just trying to learn. You know, it is real. Y'all still, you know, they get mad at me at this point. Y'all not mad at me, right? We ought to be further along in our spiritual growth than we were when we first got saved, right? I'll not be running around in the nursery. We live in a buffet Christianity. Pick and choose, hunt and peck, you know. Have y'all noticed that? Y'all need to get out more. You know what I'm saying? But praise the Lord, we ought to be the happiest people on the planet. As a child of the King, I mean, we have the supply of omnipotence, the wisdom of omniscience, the guidance of omnipresence, and we can't even get through Walmart without complaining. Who indwells you? The Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You ever been on a plane with a baby crying? I've been on a plane with 200 babies crying. Amen. I mean, wah! Man, I couldn't hardly wait to get off that plane, buddy. I know the Holy Spirit of God was wanting to get off the plane. Just one baby's enough, but we was in Duluth and the plane didn't get off and we was delayed like 4 hours and it was a whole bunch of big deal, but I'll tell you what, them people were not. I was thankful that it didn't stop sparking the engine at 30,000 feet. I guess it's kind of the way you look at things, you know. You know, but the other folks didn't seem like it. They weren't grateful, you know. Not thankful. We're not thankful. So stop your complaining. And that, you know, And do I complain? Well, ask her. But you know, I use 1 John 1:9. He says, if you confess it, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. Proverbs 24, verse 16. A just man falls 7 times, but rises up again. Well, I get up and I go again. God says, that's good, son. And, you know, just kind of get you to think. So why is it so important that we maintain fellowship with God? Keep a short account of sin. Wait, I don't wait till I go to bed at night to get right with God. I'd have forgotten anyway. But I got to try to get that. See, I grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I want to get that thing right now so I can now move forward and launch and keep growing in grace. And so not only bear fruit, but he says you can get your prayers answered. You know, that's how I get things from God. I don't use Visa God or Master God. I did that up until 2005, and I changed the way I think and the way I live and the way I did that. I'm not saying if you got a credit card, you're not right with God. It's amazing what people hear at that point. You know what I'm saying? Man, get 25. Use all of them you want to. You see what I'm saying? But I don't go in financial debt to serve the King. I've learned some things. You see, if I was the pastor of the church here and his roof was leaking, and we wouldn't go in financial debt to fix his roof. I say, Lord, your roof is leaking. And I would kind of say, hey, folks, we need to pray and let God know his roof is leaking. He already knows it. But see, I'm not going to go in financial debt to pay for it. Yeah, you know what? He'll come along. It's amazing what God might do in response to our cry. It won't be my own clever planning, my own human abilities. God comes along and he gets all the credit. But that's another thing that I've learned along the way. I was never in financial debt till I started serving the King. Man, I was a successful businessman. I go to Bible college, go out to serve the King in 96, and man, I'm in financial debt by 2005. I said, man, you can't. And then I learned you were doing it the wrong way. And so now, since 2005, get to serve the King a different sort of way, and out of financial debt by October 16th of this year. That is a better way to live. God's ways are better. But anyway, so what were you saying? Anyway, not only you get answered prayer. Oh, answered prayer. That's how I get things from God. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, son, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I like the better deal. I mean, if you believe all that. Well, if you'll abide in Christ, you can ask God for anything, son. You can ask me for anything at all, big or little. If it is my will, you can have what you prayed for. Ha, ha. If you thought God'd give you everything you asked for, you'd rarely stop the act of asking. I've learned that. Matthew 7:7. Jesus said, ask, it shall be given you. He didn't say it shall be given you. He said, ask. I've learned a lot of things will not be given you that you need, that I want to give you, but won't come because you won't ask. So I ask him for everything. But you need to maintain that fellowship with the Lord. So are you interested in getting your prayers answered? Jesus said, if you'll abide in me, you can have what you pray for. You know what? It makes you want to straight up and fly right. Keep a short account of sin. If you choose to live that sort of life, you see what I'm saying? Not presumptuous in you. Okay, it's the very nature of God to hear and answer prayer, and I won't go into all that. Psalm 65:2, oh, thou that hearest prayer, and thee shall all flesh come. Mark 11:17, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? Why would Jesus say in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint? If he were not a prayer hearing and prayer answering God, he is. And it ought to be the norm for his children to get their prayers answered. Yes, and so what was Jesus saying in John 15, verse 7? Foundational. I mean, if you will abide in me, you can have what you prayed for. Are you interested in getting your prayers answered? I mean, are you getting results when you pray? If not, it may very well be not by abiding in Christ. But the third thing is the joy of the Lord. That's verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I'm here to say Jesus Christ intended the children of God to have the joy of the Lord in times of sorrow, in times of hardship, in times of great trouble. He really, really? Yes, he really did. So what was the Lord saying in John 15, verse 11? He was simply saying this, if you'll abide in me, you can have the joy of the Lord. Are you a joyful Christian? Are you rejoicing in the Lord this morning? If not, it may very well be you're not abiding in the Lord. What's going to happen to me if I don't abide in Christ? I don't maintain fellowship with God. Well, that's verse 6. Jesus said, if a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Jesus is not telling folks how to get saved and stay saved in this passage of Scripture. Now, do you know what Jesus was teaching us? Jesus was teaching us that about branches that are symbols. He's teaching us about branches that are symbols of God's people. Now, you know that. Branches are you and I. The vine is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God that produced that marvelous life in the Son of God some 2,000 years ago can... He can produce that same sort of life in you today. Okay, let me go back. How did Jesus Christ, our Savior, live his life on the earth some 2,000 years ago? How did he fight the devil? How did he fight temptation? Well, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1 that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So how did Jesus live his life on the earth some 2,000 years ago? How did he fight the devil? How did he fight temptation? Well, the Bible says, well, he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus went out to fight the devil in the power of the Spirit. He went out to fight temptation in the power of the Spirit. And the Son of God returned in the power of the Spirit. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. So, let's put it together what I just said. You and I are the branches, Jesus Christ, the vine. And the Holy Spirit of God that produced that marvelous life in the Son of God can produce that same sort of life in you today. And you, who could not function apart from the vine, can begin bearing much fruit, can get your prayers answered, can have the joy of the Lord. So, are you interested in abiding in Christ? Amen. Then whatever this abiding in Christ is, it is mighty important, don't you think so? I'm talking, bear much fruit, get your prayers answered, and have the joy of the Lord in times of hardship, sorrow, and difficulty. Well, that's why it's so important that you maintain fellowship with Jesus Christ. Abide in God, abide in the vine every day. So the importance, but notice the meaning of abiding in Christ. Look at verse 4. It's important, abide in me. That word abide here means to be united. So what was the Son of God saying? He's simply saying this, be united in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, I bought this plant this morning to illustrate this biblical truth. It just makes it so much simpler for me. And it's worth it to get this plant just this morning, just for this time, just to do what I'm going to do right now. Okay, as I cut off this part of the branch, I just thought that is so cool. You and I both know what's beginning to happen here. Death is beginning to set in. Now, for a while, it looks nice, you know. But by next month or next year, well, a couple of weeks, it'll become withered, dry, and absolutely useless to bear grapes. Fruit, you see, or whatever. He says it's not a grape. This, you gotta use your imagination. Grapevine. And this is, we the branches. Okay, let me put this together. So let me ask you something. What separates, do you want to live a withered, dry, useless life as far as the cause of Christ is concerned? Do you want to walk up to the judgment seat of Christ one day, bury your face in your hands, and weep buckets of tears because of the abuse, and misuse your life for the Lord? Any Christian could do that. How can you live a different sort of life? How can you wait to stand before him one day, you know, unashamed and with a smile in mind? And as you see, put it together. So what separates the child of God from fellowship with the vine? Sin. You know that. 1 John 1:9. But okay, and so I'm not talking about our relationship with God. Once saved, always saved. We understand that. I'm talking about our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what separates the child of God from fellowship with the vine? It is sin, so don't go on in your sin. Get that thing right with God. Well, Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Glory. And so we get right with God. What brings a child of God back in fellowship with the vine? It's confession. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what was the Lord teaching here? He was simply saying this, listen, if you will maintain fellowship with me, son, certain things are going to happen. You're going to bear much fruit. You're not going to be fruitless. Man, you're going to bear much fruit. You're going to get your prayers answered. You're going to experience the joy of the Lord. You can have my joy in times of hardship, sorrow, and difficulty. And by the way, you will avoid something, a withered, dry, useless life as far as the cause of Christ is concerned. And so don't you want to walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ every day? Remember, don't you want to walk with God, talk to God, fellowship with Jesus Christ, and have the Son of God talk back to you through his word and the Spirit of God indwelling you? Surely you do. Amen. What Christian wouldn't want that? And so man was created to walk up. Man was not created to walk up distant from God. We were created to walk up close with God. I mean, Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And it's not right. It's not right that we not walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ every day, not just on Sunday and Wednesday and from time to time. You see, we should walk in fellowship with Jesus. You ought to live in such a way you can say, I know my life is well-pleasing to God. I'm well-pleasing in God's sight. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Right? Get that thing right. We just have to confess it. When God tells you to do something, do it. And so when he speaks to your heart, so it's not right for us not to walk in fellowship with the Lord every day, and that's the problem of God's people. They're not. That's why they're not producing fruit, not getting your prayers answered, not experiencing joy. They're not abiding in Christ. They're not abiding in the vine. God's people are not maintaining fellowship with the Lord. And so if you're not producing fruit in your life today, it's not because you've not mastered Romans road. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, for all I've seen it come short of glory. Romans 6:23, the wages. You got that down, right? Problem is you're not abiding in Christ. If your prayer is not getting answered, it's not because you've not tried to pray. The problem is you're not abiding in Christ. You see, if your life is miserable and there is no joy, you met Christians like that? I mean, I don't want what they got. But right? There's no joy. It's not because they're under the weather. Well, the Bible's teaching us the problem is you're not abiding in Christ. Christ said, if these things are not in you, the problem is, wake up, you're not abiding in me. You're not maintaining fellowship with the vine. You're not maintaining fellowship with God. So, brethren, you should be walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ every day, and that's what it means to abide in Christ. But notice the importance. We noticed 3, 5, 7, and 11. It's good to remember that. Bear fruit, get your prayers and experience. Because I'll ask you real quick in a minute and see if you remember it, retaining anything. And then number 2, the meaning of abiding in Christ, which is you are to maintain fellowship with God. The meaning, maintain fellowship with God. And you'll avoid a withered, dry, useless life as far as the cause of Jesus is concerned. So he'd be well pleased. But notice the conditions. Jesus told us that there are only 2 conditions, abiding in him. If you're not abiding in Christ, you have violated one or both of them. First, you must let his word abide in you. Uh-oh, already a bad thing, right? Look at verse 7. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. What was Jesus saying? He's simply saying this. Abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and letting his word abide in you are the very same thing. The Bible is teaching you that the way you abide in Jesus Christ is to let the word of God abide in your hearts, in your heart. Psalm 119:11, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Many of you are listening to me, but that's not letting his word abide in you. That's simply taking it in, and for some of you, it's going in one ear and right out the other. That's not letting his word abide in you. Letting God's word abide in you is taking the truths of God's word and not letting them go. You say, preacher, what must I do? Before you go to bed this afternoon, you ought to go over what you heard today. You ought to say something like this. Lord, you taught me today in Sunday school that if I would maintain fellowship with you, if I would let your word abide in me, I can bear much fruit. I can get my prayers answered, 5:7, and have your joy in verse 11. Then you need to go over it again in the morning. First thing in the morning, go wet over everything again. And then a week from the day, go it in. 2 weeks from the day, and a year from the day, go it again. And then, and only then, are you allowing the Word of God to abide in you. That's the lady. Now, why is that so important? Well, second, you must be obedient to it. That makes sense. If you're going to take this word in, then you need to be obedient to it. That would make sense. Verse 10, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Folks, as you walk with God, talk to him, fellowship with the Son of God, and he talks back to you through his word, through the Spirit of God, you are to obey him. Do what he says. Go where you want to go. If God's people will bring their life in total submission to him, then and only then will God's people ever discover what the Christian life is all about down here. You see what I'm saying? So if you don't get this down, how do you accomplish the other things? How do you see the only way we can move forward? There's so much more to the Christian life. I'm telling you, and I'm so far back, the birds don't fly where I'm at. And just think what God might do with you, with your talent and your ability and the gifts he's given you. And so we limit ourselves. And so, okay, what is it? So look at verse 10, if you keep my commandments. So you need to live by the truth of the word of God. The Bible needs to govern your life. The Bible needs to dictate your actions. The instruction manual. We try to live the Christian life without reading the manual. We try to operate equipment and cars. I mean, how many cars have you had? How many folks have actually opened up the glove box, pulled the thing out, and read the instruction manual from stem to stern? Praise God. Amen. Know how to use the Bible. Have you used it? A copier machine. You see what I'm saying? This is God's manual, instruction manual. And if we will spend quality time in the Word of God, feeding the new nature that we have, we'll learn to think right, think like God, think like God thinks. And we'll be changed. We'll be transformed to what we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, son, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And there's so many more. Psalm 1, blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the Vikings. They're going to get a new stadium, right? Hey, man, right? All right, no. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And there's many. So, in other words, what was Jesus saying in John 15, verse 10? He's simply saying this: you need to do what the Bible says to do and keep from doing what it says not to do. It's that simple. If you're not abiding in Christ. You know why some of you are not in fellowship with the Lord? Well, you've either not allowed the Word of God to have any place in your heart, or you're not doing what the Bible says to do, or keeping from doing what it says not to do. When you do not abide in God's word, when you do not obey the word of God, when you allow sin in your life, you're not abiding in Christ. And so, we'll do a conclusion real quick. Okay, why is it so important? You need to go over this again, because if you don't, you're going to forget it for sure. Why is it so important that we abide in Christ? Do you remember verse, we bear much fruit verse? Yes, I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Don't even have to pray about it. And then I'll go it again. Verse 7, we get our prayers answered. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and should be done with you. Two prerequisites to prayer. And then the one is joy, verse 11. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might... Now we're just reading the instruction manual, beginning to connect the dots, how we can have a closer walk, a greater walk, and then improve and mature and develop and be what God wants it to be. Y'all coming back tonight, right? Great tonight. I can't wait till tonight. And then the meaning of the body in Christ, which is you need to maintain fellowship with the Lord. And if you'll do that, you'll avoid a withered, dry, useless life as far as the cause of Christ is concerned. And then the only two conditions Jesus said, let his word abide in you, verse 7. And then be obedient to it, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So I hope that was an encouragement to you and a help. And to help you, that's just a stepping stone, because I'm going to try to build on that as we go this couple of days here.